From Greenwich to Danbury, Wilton to Westport, Fairfield County Talk Radio is here to help serve the community.
And welcome. I am Lisa Wexler, your host. We are from Fairfield County Talk Radio Broadcasting, and we are live at the one and only fabulous place to be in Wilton, which is Orem's Diner. The Cup of Joe political show starts now, and I am so delighted to be with my fave, Tony Boucher, former state senator, great lady all around who was still passionate about public affairs, publishing, writing, speaking out about the issues she cares about. Although she's no longer in office, she is very much a force to be reckoned with and very much a leader, a thought leader in our community, and that's why we've chosen to interview her today. Hey, Tony, welcome.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
You are a thought leader. Well, so we're sitting here in Orem's Diner, and you were telling me that you had a hand in, tell us, why we're here today.
Well, Orem's is here because some years ago, people not remember, there's a huge controversy here in this region about building a Super 7 highway.
I do remember
from
that.
95 all the way to 84, and it would have gone through several colonial towns in the area.
And beautiful neighborhoods.
Beautiful neighborhood. And it's been a 50, 60-year battle, and it hasn't been built. And I was a key in that fight. Instead, negotiated a widening of the current Route 7 through Wilton. And when we negotiated that successfully, now it's four lanes, it has a lot of beautiful landscaping, Orem's Diner, here in this area since 1921, was going to be
It was down
leveled.
The road. It was red, was little red house sort of
right.
thing.
Yeah,
right
it was
down
small.
The road.
It was small. So I had to put in an act of the legislature. It was not an easy thing to do, to allow the owners of Orem's Diner to buy a little tiny piece of property on state land. They didn't want to do it, but, you know, when we get busy and
now,
start
Now, who was
buying,
the they? This legislature didn't
yes,
want?
Didn't
want
to do it.
So this what we're sitting on was technically belonged to the state beforehand?
Absolutely.
Oh.
So I was able to get a little bill passed that allowed this owner to buy this land at market value, and they paid a steep price for this little acre of land.
Okay.
You know, and I persuaded them and saying, you know, this is a place where ordinary people can go and
Oh,
eat.
It's the best.
You know, it's a small diner, your construction workers all the way up
we
to
We need
CEOs.
It in our
Absolutely.
Area. There's nothing like it. That's why it's
Absolutely.
Always packed. And so, Dimitri and everybody does a great job.
Oh, they're wonderful. And Jimmy, who's now, yeah. you know, the son of the owner, it's a family business.
Right.
Really decent, good people, Greeks that make
work
such
hard,
a, work so hard, have great family values,
and they also have the best rib steak in town. I don't know if people know that. You know, it's, I was at a fancy restaurant last night with a good friend, and she said, "I've heard that you ordered the steak at Orem's. What makes you do that?" I said, "It's the best one in the entire area. It's the best. If you like a rib steak, which I do every now and then, I have to have it. This is where I come."
Well, this is where you know you can get a good homemade cheese blintz.
You know.
Wrapped in a crepe. It's
I
so
know,
good. And
I
it's just where a place everyone congregates and, you know, kids come back from school breaks to come and convene here at Orem's because it brings back so many wonderful memories as little children having pancakes.
So you must be very proud. And you're a Wilton resident, Tony.
I am. Although I grew up in Naugatuck, Waterbury Valley, the valley. This has been our home for over 30 years. And our children all graduated from the
you
school.
Love this
system
town.
Here. I do. And it's where I got started, you know, just being asked to
Board
serve
of Ed,
on Board
right?
of Ed. Yeah, Board
yeah.
of Ed, Board of Selectmen. That's the first time that I really discovered, you know, a passion for public service.
So let's talk about that. So Tony Boucher, you were state senator representing the 26th district for how long?
For 10 years, since 2009 to 2019. And prior to that, in the House for 12 years. I never anticipated
oh.
I would do any of these things. And prior to that, on the State Board of Education, because education really has been my passion.
It was a major upset, not just personally upsetting for you and for your supporters, but it was a major political upset. You weren't the only one in the state that was a Republican that was wiped out. When you look back over that, what are your thoughts on the reasons that you lost this past November?
Well, it was a very interesting time, and of course, you learn this very quickly, that politics is very fickle. You know, it can turn on a dime, it can turn on a tweet, it can turn on what's going on in other places beyond our borders, and there was no question there was a blue wave, there was a very anti-Trump, let's be honest about that, particularly here in Lower Fairfield County, not so much, you know, further out, and also the demographics, political political demographics are changing as big companies, and we want to talk about that, big companies start to leave or no longer locate here, companies like IBM.
And why does that have an impact on the political demographics here?
Well, that's it's very interesting because the individuals that populated our towns came from a lot of other places in the country, a lot of them from the Midwest, Procter & Gamble, headquartered in the Midwest. So their political leanings were different. Now we find that we're so expensive as a state, the only people that really can afford to be here are from Manhattan or New York. And there are decidedly Democratic registered voters. And that has changed. If you look just at the registrations, you'll see that. But beyond that, I think I talked to a lot of really great Democrats. They were surprised. They surprised themselves. They said, we didn't expect to do as well as we did. They didn't anticipate the kind of visceral emotion that was coming out at the polls. And that
it was a venting
clear.
Kind of a
it
thing.
It was a very much a venting thing. So I think I would, you know, caution those in office now to think it's about an issue that they believe in, like tolls, for example. Boy, did they get a lot of blowback on that. Or some ran on that issue, quite frankly, and those that even occupy the seat now.
Well, it's not finished yet. Let's talk about that. We're chatting with Tony Boucher. So Ned Lamont has announced, and apparently he has the power to do so, as governor, to call a special session. The budget passed. That session is over. We've been going over in tremendous detail what that means to the Connecticut taxpayer, and we can get into that a little bit more. But tell us about, you're a veteran, tell us about what it means to convene a special session, how many people have to show up, and in your view, and I know you're paying close attention to this, does Governor Lamont have the votes to go ahead and pass tolls?
Well, you know, the toll issue is interesting on many levels. I've been, around this issue for a long time as one of the leaders of the Transportation Committee. We, you know, had public hearings on it. We had public hearings even in the districts and up in Danbury and other parts of the state on tolls. And, you know, there are people that say, well, why not? Because we pay tolls all the time when we go out of our state. But the difference is, and why it's a big deal in Connecticut, is other states don't have half the taxes we do. New York does not have a car property tax. People get, you know, hit with that every single year. They don't have a myriad of other taxes that we do.
We have two taxes on every gallon of gas, correct?
We do. We do. We have an excise tax, and we have an 8% tax. By the way, that leads me to the discussion of how many broken promises does a legislature give the state, okay? That 8% tax was a 5% tax originally to pay for a specific thing. And once that was paid off, they kept it. So they broke their promise that it was temporary.
So
now it's permanent.
So let's talk about it. One of the promises of a toll bill is that it will actually improve infrastructure and be a... But what we have something called the Special Transportation Fund, and I'm told that Governor Lamont's budget actually diverts money from the car sales tax that was supposed to go into that Special Transportation Fund.
That's exactly right. The sales tax on cars was slated to go in there, and they just halted all of that.
They're still collecting the money,
yes,
Tony Boucher.
Absolutely.
But they're not putting it towards the purpose for which they originally said.
Exactly. In addition, about $170 million is supposed to go from the general fund into the special transportation fund. So the lockbox, you know, is supposed to protect that money, but they don't protect the money that's supposed to go into it. So they have shortchanged it by $170 million. Additionally, you know, that toll bill that the governor has made is pivotal.
Yes. So tell us about
that. Was supposed to be promised only for trucks.
Well, we know that. That and was part of the big broken promise,
that's
right?
That's right. Exactly.
He's gotten a lot of press for changing his mind almost immediately after assuming office.
That's right. Because when they looked at to see the revenues they would have to get in order to put that in, it didn't work out. So now it's 50 gantries all over the state. It's on every major highway we have. And worse yet, I'm concerned because one of my dear friends from New Canaan worked in New York as head of one of the tolling locations for over 40 years and retired.
Really?
And he said, you know, he looked at this proposal and he said, you know, they've underestimated the entire cost.
The infrastructure of putting in tolls,
yes,
you mean?
50%, by 50%. And in addition, they also calculated, well, how much is it going to cost them for each transaction that they have to put through? He said they calculated 1 penny per transaction. And in fact, he says, no, Tony, it's between 5 cents and 10 cents per transaction. And in fact, if you look at Virginia, it's 8 cents per transaction, and they have big tolls there. So they are underestimating the cost. They're overestimating the revenues. What does that mean? It means that those originally estimates, it's only going to cost you so much per mile, is going to go way up.
And also the per mile cost was astoundingly high now. They were estimating between 4.4 and 8 point something cents a mile. That's for in-staters. But if for out-staters, they want to charge people coming from New York into Connecticut 10 cents a mile. How are we going to be a beacon for employers if we're making it so expensive for them to get employees from across the border? What are we doing?
Well, that's my concern, because that's another broken promise as I see it, and that is we're going to be open for business, we're going to be friendly to business, and it's decidedly a problem for Connecticut. I have to give you a quote from a state that is getting a lot of our major employers and world headquarters. GE is one of them, and now there's rumor that UTC, our largest
not a rumor, it was announced yesterday,
a largest, and you know, the Pioneer Institute of Massachusetts,
it's a plan, it's not in stone because they haven't gotten all government approval. But the plan is for Raytheon to merge with United Technologies. And when that happens, the new headquarters of this enormous, huge military contractor will be, the UTC piece will be moved from Farmington, Connecticut to Boston.
That's correct. And when they say, well, it's because of talent and so forth, listen, we're so darn close. Where you put a world headquarters is not necessarily like Amazon and others. It's not where all of your businesses transaction, your manufacturing transacts. You can, where Connecticut is perfectly located between Boston and New York. What we had as an advantage was no state income tax. By the way, another broken promise. That was temporary. It was a temporary, just like our real estate conveyance tax is temporary. Our taxes on gifts and estates and inheritance is temporary, all made permanent. But, you know, the Pioneer Institute...
Although we just got rid of the gift tax finally. Didn't we? Just the gift part of the estate and gift tax?
Well, it's slated to be taken out.
Yes. Again. So let's go back a minute before we get, and I know we're going to talk about, because you have this fabulous platform, you have a wonderful website, ConnecticutInsights.com, where people can go see how your writings are put there for people to, you're really very much a part of public policy. But as somebody who is a very acute observer now of what's going on in Hartford, what are the chances of the tolls passing in a special session this year, spring of 2019?
Great question, because I have to give a shout out to all of the activists, grassroots individuals, both Republicans and a very well-known Democrat that has gone all over the state convening individuals. There's been on the sidewalk protests all over the state. There has been forums by the Republican side, leaders now of the transportation, that have taken up the banner. I've talked to them a lot, and they've gone to at least 30 different towns and cities. We've had, you know, town councils passing resolutions against them in Stanford, the very place where this is being pushed out by a lot of their legislators. And they're all saying no.
And the latest poll on tolls showed close to 60% of people in Connecticut
exactly.
don't want it.
Yes, and I did my own surveys. I would have on my desk 500 emails against and 10 for. So you really see the public outcry because they get it. They're over the top tax.
But is that reaching the people who will be voting, Tony Boucher?
It seems that it is starting to make inroads, because this was supposed to be voted on earlier in the session, then towards the end of the session, and they couldn't amass the Democratic votes. Remember, they control the House and the Senate. They control the votes. They control the process. They control the budget. Okay, the closest we ever got was 2 years ago, 18-18 tie of 36 in the Senate, when we stopped a lot of this from happening. This is not new. We've stopped a lot of business taxes, but tolls particularly. And they're having a tough time twisting arms of their own.
But if it's the focus is single-mindedly on tolls as a strategy for the governor, if all they have to do is talk about tolls, first of all, tell me, how long can this special session last? Can the governor make people go there for as long as he wants, until whenever? I mean, how does it work?
Well, the idea that everything stops on June 5th at midnight, sine die, is not true. The governor can call, and the legislature leaders can call a special session anytime they want. In fact, you know, the 1 year, it went on all the way through December. So they can bring people back again and again. And they can call it for a specific reason, or they can leave it open-ended. I presume that the reason that they want to do a special session, this is common, is not to run up against a deadline, a firm deadline, like midnight on June 5th. So I think right now they're assessing and counting their votes, trying to persuade people. You know, the last session had a bit of pork in it on all kinds of little gift items, bonding for individuals to vote in favor of a budget that was going to be problematic because there's a lot of taxes in this budget. So it's possible that they may be doing the same thing.
Because so is it possible that they made deals we don't know about to go to a yes vote for tolls if and when the governor called the special session? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, you know, we may find out about it if we look in the fine print on a bonding meeting where you see, well, there's $37,000 for, you know, a small club in somebody's town. A nice to get, like Little League or a, you know, YMCA or a Boys and Girls, you name it. It could be some organization in somebody's town, and the individual gets to take a bow and say, well, look at what I did for you.
And in exchange for that, I made a deal to vote.
Yeah, exactly. But I think this toll bill is going to be very problematic because people will remember it every single time they pass a toll and they get charged.
So strategically, Governor Lamont, who has made this such a centerpiece of what he wants to do, but do you think that he would risk losing all his political capital in calling a special session and then being voted down? I mean, it's very risky for him politically, don't you think?
Well, it is, and that's why they count the votes. They get a commitment. And, you know, it's interesting.
So it's going to go through, is what you're saying.
I'm not sure.
Well, the fact that they're calling a special session, they seem to be ramming it home. It sounds to me like they wouldn't do that unless the Democrats assured the governor that they have the votes.
But we don't have a date yet. You know, when you start, one of the first things I was told when I was a freshman years ago in the House, just first day, hadn't been even, you know, involved in anything at the Capitol, was that your word is your bond. If you make a commitment, you better keep it, because if you break that, your word, you lose total credibility. Well, I'll tell you, there's been a lot of, you know, broken commitments, unfortunately. This is one that is going to be, I think, difficult for the legislature, because I think now people on the street get it.
Okay, Tony Boucher. So you're not willing to, at this point, really tell us yes or no. Are you saying that if we get a date and there is a legislature, chances are it's a yes? The question is to see whether or not they'll actually do it. Is
correct.
That what I'm hearing?
Correct.
I'm trying to hear what's happening.
I would wait to see if there's a firm date.
Okay.
And then usually if it's a firm date, they've counted the votes.
Tony Boucher, who knows just a little bit about politics. Our former state senator, very beloved here in our own community. I'm Lisa Wexler. You're listening to Fairfield County Talk Radio, and we do a Cup of Joe political show. We want you to tune in and be part of it. We are broadcasting live from the great, the one and only Orem's Diner right here on Route 7 in Wilton, which is my diner. My kids actually used to call it the Brown Diner. Don't ask me why it got the name the Brown Diner. They didn't think of it as Orem's, but they would always say, "We want to go to the Brown Diner." And so we've been known to and of the staff here at Orem's for a very, very long time. It's my go-to place. I'm happy to be here once a month. All right, stay tuned for part two of a conversation with former State Senator Tony Boucher. We'll be right back.
Outside your window, what would you like to see? Imagine all the things that could be done to beautify your property. At Michael Labriola, we've led the field over 35 years. Our expert staff brings all their best to give you what you need.
For more than 40 years, Michael Labriola Incorporated has provided complete landscape construction and site development services that will add beauty, enjoyment, and value to your property. Want to make some changes to your landscape this spring? Maybe extending your living space to the outdoors with a functional outdoor kitchen or adding a patio or walkway? Michael Labriola Incorporated can evaluate your property and offer creative ideas. 914-273-6530. Commercial properties always welcome. Learn more at Michael Labriola INC.
Michael Labriola, our last name is the first name in landscapes.
Check out the upcoming events tab on FairfieldCountyTalkRadio.com for where we'll be next. Let us know how we can help your next event. Call 1-866-SHARK-99.
And good morning. This is your Cup of Joe political show. We bring this to you once a month from Orem's Diner from 8 to 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. And we are so happy you're listening and part of it. I'm Lisa Wexler, and joining me today is former state senator, Wilton resident Tony Boucher, who knows a bit or two or thing about what's going on and has a true strong opinion. Just because Tony's not in the legislature doesn't mean she wants her voice to be silenced, and she has so many thousands, frankly, of followers and people who care about what she thinks. She's a thought leader in our community, and that's why I've invited her to be part of this. Hey, Tony, welcome back.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that this is produced by Shark Creative, and it's made possible by a host of local sponsors, which include Georgetown Orthodontics with offices in Reading and Norwalk, the Wilton Chamber of Commerce, Art and Builders, Forward Thinking Multidiscipline Construction, David Adam Realty, and you can download the Fairfield County Radio app on iTunes through the App Store at Fairfield County Talk. All right, so Tony Boucher, we were just talking before about tolls. The synthesis of what you were saying was that if and when we get a date for that actual special session that Governor Lamont says he wants to hold, that in your political view, of someone of longstanding political experience, it is more than likely that the leadership, which is exclusively Democrat, will have the votes to pass a toll bill.
Exactly. I'm sure they're working on that now to get those votes. No question, it is a straight party line, except that now, not so much, because they have a supermajority in the House and Senate, but they can't bring in those additional votes, it seems like, to persuade some that feel at risk for losing an election next time.
So, yeah, and the thing is, if you're going to do tolls, you want to do it now because there's no election this November.
Exactly.
So people are hoping that the voters will forget about it by a year and a half from now.
Very astute observation.
So what happens in terms of the likelihood that if the public doesn't want them built, you know, everything takes time, that it would be reversed with a different administration? Could that ever happen if they actually pass a toll bill?
It's true, because it takes a couple years to build it out. Absolutely. And you are wise to see that it's the most controversial bills are usually brought up the first year of a two-year cycle.
Has to be. Yeah,
exactly, because the second year is very close to election time.
And they punt.
And they hope that the public will forget just how bad,
right,
you know, that proposal might have been. But again, this is a very visceral issue. People have said, I will vote against you if you vote for tolls.
I spoke to one of the leaders of the local ACLU here in Connecticut, and his concern was that in all the talking and thinking and proposals regarding tolls, no one had talked about securing the data that big government will be collecting on our whereabouts. This is a huge issue that is coming up from other states. There's a lot of hacking that's gone involved. There's a lot of the accumulation of data as free citizens of the United States of America that we don't want people to know about us. Nobody seems to care about that.
Well, I think people are much more sensitive right now about their personal privacy. In fact, they don't trust that government is going to secure their data.
But it doesn't seem to be entering into the toll conversation.
Well,
Tony,
you're right, because not too many people brought that up. But it's true, because the State Department of Revenue Services, our state IRS, actually lost 100,000 filers' data on a laptop computer that one of their staff just took with them, and it was just. And by the way, mine was one of them. Nashville.
No way.
Yeah, absolutely. And they, because they informed all of us and gave everyone a 2-year protection, a security protection.
After the barn doors open.
Exactly. So this can be a security issue because there's no question that you can be tracked depending on with your transponder, your Easy Pass transponder.
And then the other thing is that in states like Pennsylvania, they've elevated the quote-unquote crime or infraction of not paying a toll to a crime. They actually passed a bill in Pennsylvania that said after you haven't paid X amount of tolls, all of a sudden you're going to be a felon. So all of a sudden now we've created a new class of wrongdoers for people to be punished. And it feeds the prison criminal justice complex. I have problems with that too.
Well, we just Absolutely. We just talked about previously that they've underestimated the real cost of putting these in and to manage it, the process. But they also need to, you know, consider that 30% of the public does not pay a bill from their tolls, and states do not
have. Is it that high?
Yes, it's that at least that high, and that's been confirmed by my friends that work in the tolling industry. And states don't have a reciprocal agreement to go after you, so that's probably why Pennsylvania is probably frustrated, because what that means is that 30% non-payment has to be put on the shoulders of all the people that do pay, and that of course that's why the tolls pricing goes up.
And also, then it has a disproportionate impact typically on in-staters because in-staters are more likely to pay the toll than out-of-staters.
Absolutely true. You're right.
There's a lot here.
There is.
There's a lot here. Okay, so now, Tony, you have this website called ConnecticutInsights.com, and you created that. Why?
Well, I had so many people stop me and say, you know, the information you put out was so helpful and made me aware. I didn't know a lot of the things or how a government works. And there were so many there that over the years have, and they've asked me to continue. You're going to continue to weigh in. I said, you know, I think I will. And let's see if people respond to it. And it's been very successful. And so I feel that, you know, the responsibility really to keep a lot of people informed, and they're not necessarily here. You know, you have thousands on this email, list. They, a lot of them are from all over the state.
They want to hear what you have to say.
Absolutely.
Well, you had made a run or an exploratory run for governor. Is that something that you're still interested in, Tony Boucher?
I am not.
You're not?
No, I'm not. I have explored it in depth and made great friends all over the state. When it was time to make a decision, I felt that my biggest impact, the biggest contribution, was here in my area, my community.
Will Haskell, who was the victor in the race, just, I think today I saw a write-up in the Norwalk Hour about how he's doing as a freshman. He's making his mark. Are you inclined to go against him next time?
That thought hasn't even crossed my mind, really, Lisa. I have been, people don't realize it's a part-time position, so I've had a full-time other job and career in business. I feel responsibility to that business and to my community. That doesn't mean that, you know, at a future time, if called upon to help out, I might not do something into the future. But right now, I'm busy concentrating on my business, my work, and my, ConnecticutInsights.com website, and in my local community. And it's interesting that people still want you to participate. There's a lot of programs and boards that I'm serving on.
Tell us.
I've just joined the Friends of Sherwood Island State Park.
Nice.
Which is something, the environment is something I care so deeply about. And some girls' organizations to help promote young women. Ms. President, organization is a program for fourth graders to eighth grade girls to help them think about running for office.
I love it.
Recently was asked to be a facilitator for the National Institute for Civil Discourse, which is headquartered in Arizona at the University of Arizona, and they have a program that will help to facilitate positive discourse among legislatures all over the country. And they will ask you, and they want a Republican and a Democrat legislator or former legislator to go in and help facilitate this dialogue and program. You don't do your own state. For example, I wouldn't participate in Connecticut, but certainly all of the other states.
That sounds fascinating.
It is, and I was trained recently in Arizona, and it's a wonderful program. It made great connections with individuals all over the country, and God knows we certainly need that today.
It's a great country.
It is a great country, and I think that I've certainly worked my best, including saving Arms Diner, by working both sides of the political aisle.
Sure.
And making good relationships. That's where it starts. You may not agree, and you won't agree on so many important critical issues, but you certainly can learn to know each other, trust each other, and work in a bipartisan way. And almost 80% of what is done in most legislatures is bipartisan.
So, as we're chatting here in Orem Steiner, and we're doing the Cup of Joe political show, I'm Lisa Wexler, brought to you by Fairfield County Talk Radio. Tony, what is uppermost on your mind in terms of communicating right now to the people in our community? I've been reading your newsletters. They're phenomenal. They're fact-filled. What is right now on your mind that you want to let people know?
Well, as I said, I'm principally a businesswoman, but I also have grandchildren in our area going to our public schools, and I still care. And I have, you know, one of my three children works in education and special ed in our Connecticut systems, and I'm very concerned still about education. But I'm very much, everything that we do, social services in particular, I have a daughter-in-law that's in the social services arena and helping people there. I am very worried that all of our nonprofits are struggling and will struggle more as the business environment is depressed. Right now, the most important critical thing is to shore up Connecticut's economy and its financial base. Without a strong economy, nothing else happens. We are right now, you know, the topic of legislatures in Illinois and in Massachusetts. Illinois points to Connecticut.
What are we being used as a cautionary
yes,
tale?
Yes, absolutely.
That's
we
great.
Are. It's incredible, and I've written about that. In fact, the Illinois legislature talks about Connecticut being this wealthy top state and draw for business sector, now at the bottom of the heap. And we're structurally unsound with regards to pension liability. We only fund them at 30%. That's worse than even Illinois. And in Massachusetts recently, there's an institute that advises Massachusetts. They said Connecticut provides a real-world, sobering example of how a seemingly attractive tax-the-rich scheme can backfire badly on a state, turning rosy projections of revenue gains to real-life losses and damaging business confidence in the process. And boy,
is that what we were, a tax-the-rich state? Is that how
what happened? This is what the new legislature and administration is pointing out. There's a strong
group. They can't tax the poor, so that's why they're taxing the rich.
But in Illinois, they actually talk about the fact that in Connecticut's taxing the wealthy has actually led to more poverty and a burden on the middle class. And in fact, you know, there's a couple of real anti-business bills that were passed this session that is hurting. One, the $15 minimum wage bill, which is the most expensive in the entire country.
And why is that anti-business?
Well, and not only is it $15, it's also tied to a new index, an index that will increase it up to 2%
every year.
Automatically. So how does that hurt business? Well, first of all, a lot of other salaries are based on that, so they will actually increase all the other wage levels as well. And businesses, you know, should be told how much they are forced to charge because they know their financial structure. They know what they can afford. Automation is now taking the place of a lot of employees because of the high cost of labor. And in general, that cost of living of Connecticut has gone up all across the board.
That's the argument that people make in favor of a higher minimum wage, that it's a chicken or egg situation, that as the cost of living increases, if we don't insist on higher wages, we're forcing more people into greater poverty. So what is your response to that?
Well, think about, say, a McDonald's, for example.
Okay.
And you've got a cost of a hamburger. If you increase the minimum wage, there's only two options the business has. Okay, either they increase the cost of the hamburger to make up for it, or they reduce the staff. Now, if they increase the cost of that good, the very people that work there are going to be taking more out of their paycheck in order to pay for that food, and everyone across the board. You add to the fact they passed a and it sounds great, a family medical leave program, which, by the way, you can buy that program in the private sector through an insurance agent if that's something that you feel that you need. But instead, Connecticut decided they were going to pass the most onerous, not to be done anywhere in the country, again, putting ourselves in a huge disadvantage competitively with other states.
Because they're funding it with a payroll tax, right?
Well, yes, exactly. So this mandates, and it's passed, and they're proud to sign it, even though the governor originally said, oh, he would veto it. But no, now everybody's on board that is a Democrat, because again, every Republican voted against this bill. Why? Well, it would force any employer that has just one employee,
one employee,
12 weeks, and it's for a family member or anyone that's like family to you. And in addition, it is going to deduct in everybody's paycheck, everyone. You can't opt out, even if you have a plan of your own, even if the company has its own plan, a 0.5% for now, that is allowed to be increased by the Department of Labor if they run out of money, you know, at any time.
And guess
what?
And it's from everyone's paycheck, right?
Everyone's paycheck. So it could go
everyone's paying for it.
Up to, get this, $130,000 wage. So in other words, everyone at the bottom up to that point, which that could change as well. And guess what? The unions are exempt. Isn't it interesting
that
state unions are exempt? State unions are exempt from this law.
No way.
Yes, that's true.
So it doesn't come out of their paycheck, but it comes out of everyone else's paycheck?
Exactly.
Everyone else's paycheck but state unions?
Exactly, Lisa. So this
does that have to do with the fact that the Connecticut Speaker of the House, Mr. Arasemowitz, has something to do with that because he works for the unions?
Well, Lisa, that is an interesting observation.
I have to tell you. What else could it be?
Well, as I said, you know, it's a part-time legislature. Many of us had or currently have other jobs. Mine is in the business sector. But yes, in
such
fact,
an egregious conflict of interest.
Well,
in my view.
So there were a lot of pro-union bills. You know, it was only union shops that got an extra funding from the state to increase wages, but not on the other side of the coin. Any nonprofit that's not unionized didn't get that help that they should have gotten. But yes, this is a problem. And so when we talk about businesses like UTC, or we talk about GE and others, there's a whole slew of reasons. They might publicly say, oh, well, you know, we're going to the knowledge corridor. Well, Connecticut is very knowledgeable. We have our knowledge corridor here. But when they see the kind of long-term structural problems, the huge debt, the borrowing that's going on, the financial instability, the anti-business bills and attitude. If you were to hear some of the conversations had in the Finance Committees or Appropriation Committee of the legislature, there is a new, very large progressive caucus within the Democratic Party that has moved. So you've got this group.
They're angry.
They're angry and they're anti-business. And then you have the state employee union organization having their members serve in the legislature protecting their interests.
Well, wait, not just serve as Speaker of the House.
Well, that controls any bill that goes through, that and controls any vote that goes through, that controls
any
budget.
And by the
budget,
way, didn't Mr. Arasemowitz almost lose his own seat, like really skin of his, you know, neck,
right,
something
right,
he just
right.
barely made it in.
So
somebody's sitting up and noticing, but not quite.
True. So it's and what was interesting that this year and previous years as well, there were a lot of union contracts, state employee union contracts up for renewal and for a vote. And this year there were 12. And so here's another promise that never came to fruition, and that it was to get union concessions. But in fact, we got more of the same. We got a lot of protection and long-term contracts that increased wages by some up as much as 11% that protected fringe benefits that only, don't exist anywhere in the country. The cost of our state government is higher than any other state, including New York and Massachusetts.
With the notable exception of the probate court system, which actually functions in its own budget and collects 2/3 of its budget from fees and only 1/3 from the legislature.
Absolutely.
And was underfunded for the last 7 years and finally had some restoration.
That
we do
so
a lot
true.
With a little bit of money.
You do, Lisa.
A lot with a little bit of money.
Absolutely.
And we provide great social services and a real social safety net for this state with a little bit of money. All right, you know what, Tony Boucher? I have a couple of other things I want to talk about with you because I've been thinking, you know, forests for trees, big idea. And I came back from Lake Como recently, where I had pretty much one of the vacations of my life for Bill's 60th birthday. And if you've ever had a chance to go there, there's a wonderful place called the Hotel Gran Tremezzo, which is right there in Tremezzo on the lake. And it's just, what a place. And it occurred to me that the reason that we went there, other than the fact that it's Italy and why not always go to Italy, is because in the Lake Como region, they are known for their ferry system that takes you among and around all these beautiful villages on the lake, Bellagio, Menaggio, Varenna, Lenno, even the names are fun to pronounce. And I came back here and I thought, we have the most underutilized asset of Long Island Sound. We have fishing villages and charming things. We need new hospitality and restaurants and even little shops to be patronized. Why don't we have the same kind of ferry system up and down the Gold Coast of and going through Madison and Guilford right here on Long Island Sound? Why don't we do that? Why don't we get that done, Tony?
Well, Lisa, first of all,
I can see it. I can visualize it.
It would be wonderful.
It would be not only wonderful, it would be a source of an entire new industry on Long Island Sound, and it would feed all the existing starving businesses that are here and create new ones. We should be a tourist mecca right here.
Oh, think about the possibilities in the Bridgeport area.
Exactly.
And the New Haven area.
But also we've got South Norwalk, we've got East Norwalk,
absolutely,
we've got Darien, we've got Old Greenwich and different parts of Greenwich and Westport and the Saugatuck area. Each one could be little day stops for people. It's a no-brainer. I don't know why we don't do it, Tony.
Well, first of all, you went to the country in which I was born in, and I did go to Lake Como as well, and know exactly the
You know what I'm talking
suite,
about.
Yes.
And it's
hotel.
Efficiently
it's,
run.
It's beautiful.
And they have high-speed ferries from, like, Como to places with cars. And so that's one possibility. So we could have a high-speed ferry, for example, from Westport to Bridgeport or Greenwich to Bridgeport or Stamford. But then in between, they have not high speed. They have these beautiful other ferries. It's 12 months a year people go to Como.
Yeah.
And they go because the ferries assure them of a good time.
Well, I have to give a shout out to my former colleague in the House, Fred Camillo, who is a state rep, Republican state rep from...
he's running for first election now,
right,
in Greenwich.
In Greenwich. And in fact, one of his platforms is exactly to somehow utilize the coast that they have. In fact, he was talking about, you know, they park some of the DPW vehicles and a facility right on the water.
Stupid.
Right on the water. So he's
El Dumbo.
Yeah. So he said, you know, we got to turn that around. Make that a destination. Make that a restaurant or an entertainment center. And your idea about ferries would fall right into it.
Right.
Don't
into
they do
it.
That to the Hamptons? You know, there's a ferry to the Hamptons.
Well, they have the big ones. They
yes.
have the ones in Shelter Island,
right.
And they have the Port Jeff one.
Right.
But I don't think they have the diversity of interesting kinds of ports that we could have right here on Long Island Sound, because we are a 12-month community. The Hamptons are really not.
Absolutely.
We should do this, Tony.
We should do that with the proper financial, you know.
It could be a classic public-private partnership where we would get public support, maybe not public dollars, but public support. We would need to have public support for it, and then get a private company to do it.
I agree. Now,
Tony, we
that
really
takes
should
a
do
vision.
This.
That takes vision on the part of the leadership, and it takes. There's a port authority actually that should be taking that on and bringing that forward, as well as the leadership up in Hartford to do it. And it does take cooperation between the state of New York and Connecticut. Now, they're both led by Democratic administrations. You would think that would be a no-brainer, but it seems like every time you hear any discussion on that, there's always some controversy or some barrier.
It's a no-brainer.
But we also are precluded from doing so much because of Connecticut's terrible financial condition. It restricts it from doing anything as worthwhile as that, not to mention the high structural costs. The DOT and higher ed have both said in public committee meeting, that they are struggling because they're high administrative costs. Connecticut's DOT has 4 to 5 to 6 times higher administrative costs per mile of anything that they build.
Well, then let's take this away from the DOT. Let's make a private enterprise and do it.
Well, I see the vision. But you've got to have all of those municipalities along that area.
Why wouldn't they love it?
Well, Lisa, you should be running it.
Why wouldn't they love it?
You should be running it, because that's the kind of vision that should be...
Could transform our entire economy in a good way.
In a wonderful way. That's the way it should be developed. You know, that kind of positive family
And frankly,
attractions.
If I could, I would take the ferry to Greenwich to do my afternoon show in a nanosecond versus an hour and a half on the Merritt. I would be part of the decongestion of the highways. If I could take a 20-minute boat ride, it would be a no-brainer.
Certainly they do it. Certainly on the
they do
West
it in
Coast,
so
right?
many, exactly.
You know,
they do it in so it. Many other countries
absolutely,
and places.
Absolutely.
What is it? All right, so that's my pitch, Tony Boucher.
And it's
best.
A good one. It's a good one.
You're the best. All right, so we're going to go to ConnecticutInsights.com to keep abreast. And also, what is your email in case people want to get on your direct email list?
Well, you can just type in Tony at Connecticut, spelled out, insights.com.
T-O-N-I.
Yes, T-O-N-I at ConnecticutInsights.com. Or they can email me at my old email account, TonyBoucher@AOL.com.
You're the AOL gal. You've been listening to Fairfield County Talk Radio. We thank our sponsors, Georgetown Orthodontics, with offices in Reading and Norwalk, the Wilton Chamber of Commerce, Art and Builders, Forward Thinking Multidiscipline Construction, David Adam Realty. Download the Fairfield County Radio app on iTunes through the App Store. This is made possible, produced by Shark Creative. I'm Lisa Wexler. Thank you, Tony Boucher.
From Greenwich to Danbury, Wilton to Westport, Fairfield County Talk Radio is here to help serve the community.